哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿，哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿。
Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
Ay ya hey ya hey ya
hey. Unani.
My name is Vince Picuona. I was born here in Nome, July 5, 1948. But I was raised at King Island. King Islanders, we do not know how long we've been living on King Island. It's been probably in the thousands of years. We try to live according to our ancestors. How our ancestors can live with one another, respecting each other, sharing, giving. Our people were very, very careful when they hunting, sharing. They did it for real. You know, they just didn't pretend to do this and that. What they did was real. We even got the word for what we call nikipiak, real food, real meat, you know. We call ourselves inupiak, the real people. My dad, Aloysius Picuona, he was our provider, our teacher. He was many things at the island. He go out sometimes daily when the weather's permitting, you know, when the weather's good. They don't say, I'm going to go catch a seal. They don't say that. They say they're just going to go try because you never know what you're gonna run into out there on the ice. One older brother, and I had one younger brother and two older sisters. We helped when the hunting season began. We would help with hauling the meat to the house from the ice all the way up to the house. We just never play around all the time when it's hunting season, everybody helps. I remember one particular day that they were all busy. Everybody was busy on the ice cutting up meat and with the walrus. Everybody was happy because they got a lot of meat. So they cut them all up and everybody divided, and we took the share of my dad's hunting, and me and my sister just take turns hauling the meat up to our house. Even though I was 8 years old, they make me a pack sack, you know, to put on my back, put meat on it, and off I go, take it to the house, you know. 8 years old, I was able to help a little bit, you know. Island is pretty steep. It's on a cliff. The houses are made on a stilt. I never forget that house. Big part of my life. It was a very positive atmosphere. I never hear anybody holler at anybody. I never saw my mom and dad argue about anything. Oh, they probably had argued about something, but I never see them, you know. Even though my dad knew what we were going to eat, when we're ready to eat, he would make it real exciting, you know. Oh, what are we going to eat today? Let me see. You know, and we would say our blessing and we would eat. I like that. Real positive atmosphere. I love my mom and dad, you know. I love them for raising me the way they did. I had a hard time learning English. Real hard time. A teacher changed my life. One day, coming home, my mom was real excited. What was she excited about? I don't know. She said, I'm gonna go to school tomorrow. I gotta go to bed. She made me brand new parkie, brand new mukluks. Wake up in the morning, my mom real excited. I'm gonna go to school. You're gonna go to school. Had whatever we were able to eat and off I go. Okay, I've never been to school before. I must have been 6 years old, you know. I went in there and there's my friend now, Maria. Maria Umiak. Sitting down. So I went over and sat next to her. We grew up together, me and Marie. We were real close. And we were talking in our language, you know, while we were in school. And a teacher came over with a yardstick. And she hit my head with a yardstick. And I look at her and how come she hit me? Did I do something terrible? I don't know. So we just continued talking in our language. She came over and hit my hand. I didn't say nothing. I just looked at her in embarrassment. I was never been so embarrassed in my life. Just like I did something terrible. I said in my mind, 6 years old, I don't like this school. I don't like it. My mom and dad never hit me like this. I don't like this. So I made up my mind right there and then. I'm just going to pretend to go to school from now on. I'm going to turn my life over to Inupiaq way of growing up. I'm just going to go to school just to please people. So I did that over the years. I just attended. Because I don't like what that teacher did to me. So over the years, I just attended. Just doing whatever everybody was doing and just kind of like, almost like make-believe, you know. Believe it or not, I did not learn how to speak English until we moved to Nome. That was when I was 12 or 13 years old. That's how much that teacher did that to me. Nobody liked those teachers anyway because they liked to hit students. And one day, we were in school, they hit a wrong boy. because we know that young man, he likes to go tell his dad. He's a, what we call, tell the tailor, you know. The minute the teacher hit him, he start crying and go put on his parky. And he said in our language that he's going to go tell his dad. And off he go. The teacher's trying to stop him, but he couldn't stop him from going out. And not even 15 minutes later, in come his dad, real mad. I've never seen him so mad. They were talking in English, real close, face to face like this, not even 5 inches apart. He was talking to that teacher that way. I never forget. I never seen that teacher turn red like that, you know. And he was pointing at us, that young man's dad. Ever since then, that teacher never hit us no more. I hated that yardstick. More than anything, I hated that yardstick. Because even in school, when we moved here to Nome, I sure did not like the yardstick. I thought that's how the teachers were going to be here in Nome. Are they going to hit me if I speak in Inupiaq? So I quit talking in our language in school, only outside of school. So I have not a pleasant memory of school. So I turned my life towards our culture, our way of life. And that's how I want to learn. I learned to play real close attention to our elders, what they were talking, what they were teaching, what they were passing down to us. And we never say nothing back to them. We never talk back. We were even scared to look at them, you know. That's how life was. Our elders were our teachers. They taught you right from wrong, what's good, how you're supposed to cut up a ugruk or the walrus, what you're supposed to do just in case you get lost out there in the, while you're hunting. Everything that the natives do, they do it with respect. They do it with a dignity to an animal. Can't mistreat it in any way, shape, or form. You can't kick it. You can't boast your huntings around it. It's not good to do that. You gotta do it with respect, you know. I remember I caught a snow bunting using my bow and arrow, and so did my friend named David Natango. He caught one. We took him home and hang him on a shed, you know, hang him on a shed on a piece of string. And when it was time to celebrate, when one of the men caught a polar bear called Anikshak, polar bear dance, you know. Let me and my friend dance along with the men. They hang our snow bunting on top of the kagri, inside a kagri. They hang them up on the ceiling, along with the polar bear head, and we dance for those snow bunnings. Polar bear dance was it's a big part of our culture, because they were hunted using only his own body, you know, on foot, on the ice. They say to release the spirit of that bear when they Eskimo dance, to return it to its kind. I believe we moved here in 1960 to Nome, because my dad couldn't hunt on the ice no more. See, my dad, Aloysius Picuano, was crippled. His left leg was dead, you know, from polio. I went hunting with my dad, 70s and 80s, and when he couldn't hunt no more, I just kind of like took over the boat and go out every chance we get. Weather permitting, of course, weather permitting. You never know when you're gonna go hunting because of the weather, you know. The weather up here is a big boss, you know. She tells you when. They hunt seals, small seals, spotted seals, ribbon seals. They hunt them in the fall time and in the winter time. Mostly we hunt the bearded seal and walrus during the springtime. If you see something unusual out there, when you go home, you have to let somebody know right away. You probably will save someone's life by telling or warning somebody. If you see something unusual with the animal, with nature, or something, let somebody know right away. Not 2 hours later when you get home, not even half an hour. You let somebody know the minute you go home, so that other people in that community will know. One year, 1971, my dad, Frankie Lerner's wife, Ursula Elana, and Peter Elana, we went to King Island in a skin boat with my friend Norbert Thomas to drive the boat. Frankie Lerner built a 27-foot skin boat. So we went down to King Island on the springtime. This was in June of 71. Along the way, past the Sledge Island down there, 2 killer whales popped up next to the boat on either side, you know. One female on the right and one male on the left popped up, 2 killer whales. And it kind of unnerving when you're young, never experienced with killer whales before. You only heard about them. And here they are, next to the boat. It's kind of unnerving, you know, so close. And the male was big. I mean, maybe 30 feet long, you know, and they're wild. I look at my friend and he look at me and we look at him and holy cow, what are we supposed to do here, you know? And my dad and Frankie Leonard, they look back, look at him, look at us and says, don't worry. They're just checking on us, that's all. So we didn't worry no more, you know, because they know what they're talking about. They've seen them before. Never bothered them, you know. Never bothered my dad and Frankie Lena. Anyway, they told us never to bother the killer whales. Don't ever, ever bother them. They said they don't forget. They don't forget. They're very smart creatures. They live in their own world. I've seen some things that kind of make me wonder what's going on in the world, you know, because we start seeing things that are out of place, you know. We even saw a hummingbird in 1988 at King Island. And I was in school, the old school, and I was looking around and if I had never heard one before, I would never known what I've just seen. When I went to Oregon in 67, we find out about these hummingbirds in the trees, you know. They were going around trees, humming around the trees. And anyway, on that particular day, it was real nice out on the island, and I just happened to be in there, and I looked up, and I heard a very familiar sound, a buzzing sound. I know I heard that somewhere. I heard that sound somewhere. So I looked around and there was a broken window on that school. And right on that broken window, there was a hummingbird hovering. I said, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. You should belong in Oregon or somewhere where it's nice and warm, you know. And no, it was there right in front of me, and it was just buzzing around. We heard from Little Diomede that they saw a hummingbird too down there. So we start seeing unusual things, you know, here around here that we never seen before. I really like young people because they're our future. They're literally the backbone of our community. Thanks to the young people today, they're thinking about us and gave us lots of meat and just got done cutting up Ugruk meat, me and my wife, and put them in a Ziploc bag and put them away for the winter, you know. Freeze them. The more people eat, the better I eat. You know, that's how I grew up. I'm just so glad it's still going on today. In our culture, it's very embarrassing to ask for food. So we're trying to provide for the people that are less fortunate than us. We give them some, whatever we get, you know. We just didn't leave it to, oh, somebody else will give it to them. Somebody else will do it. No, you do it yourself. You know, you just do it. Sharing is a big part of our life. That's the only way our ancestors were able to survive for sometimes, you know, many days, many weeks or months. Sometimes we can't go hunting for long periods of time because of the weather. We're trying to live according to our ancestors, how our ancestors can live with one another, respecting each other, sharing, giving. Our people were very, very careful when they hunting, sharing. They did it for real. No, they just didn't pretend to do this and that. What they did was real. We call ourselves Inupiaq, the real people. My name is Vince Picuna. I was born here in Nome, July 5, 1948, but I was raised at King Island.
You've been listening to Elder Voices, a production of KNOM.
If you are an elder or know an elder who would like to participate, call KNOM at 907-443-5221 or write to KNOM Radio, Elder Voices, P.O. Box 988, Nome, Alaska, 99762. Thank you for listening to Elder Voices.